Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Wow. What an amazing sound. What an amazing sight to see the Irish flag raised in Paris once more and to see Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy collect their gold medals for Ireland. I was never great at sport. I certainly couldn't pull like a dog to row, although I was shouting that at the telly and the radio the last few days. But I almost, I do feel emotional watching that because they have brought us such pride. And I'm going to talk to our Friday gathering about our great Olympic success now. I'm joined by Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South, Cynthia Ní Mhiarracú, Labour TD for Louth and East Meath. Jed Nash is their spokesperson on finance and public expenditure. Gabby Gadafiscaithe is political correspondent with the Irish Independent, and Olivia Kelly, Dublin editor at the Irish Times. And you're all so welcome. And I've loads of things to ask you about, but I just want to say, wow!
Incredible. I'm on a high. I had to hug you.
I have the Friday gathering
the
hugging me coming in. And I was delighted to have someone to hug, to be honest with you. Now, don't draw any inference into political affiliations or favouritism or anything like that. But we were cheering here in studio and we wanted to celebrate. And my God, Cynthia, those guys have given us cause to celebrate, isn't it?
I'm so proud as an Irish person. I'm so close to Baltimore and Skibbereen because it's where I've holidayed for the last 30 years. Every August, I know the rowing club. I played squash in the rowing club. It's an amazing team down there. They're amazing people. And I just want to say, Cohorges Murochri, the Paul of the Fintan.
Jed Nash, they've given us all a cause for celebration. I feel good. Good Friday, I've been calling it, and this really is one.
Oh, completely. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when we went crazy when we won a gold medal in the boxing and a bronze medal in the boxing in 1992, and they were kind of taking winning medals for granted. I think we're something like 20 or 21st in the medal table now at the moment. I thought the tweet of the day though was from the CSO just a few minutes ago when they said that one in 750 people in Skibbereen is participating in the Olympics, and the national average is 1 to 39,000. So gold medal for the CSO.
And we just heard them there. It sounded like they were all very much part of it. They were all pulling along with the guys there and cheering them on, and so proud of all their athletes as well. Olivia, were you jumping? Were you dancing? Were you hugging?
Well, I suppose you can't but get carried along by it, can you? Even if you've no notion about rowing or no interest in sport.
Oh, we all do now.
Everybody does now. And I think we're actually somewhere around 15 in the medal table now, which is remarkable given the size of the country. Obviously that changes and will have changed.
14th, I'm told.
14th, is that where we are now? Isn't that better. Just astonishing? Yeah.
And it's early in the day yet, Olivia.
Yeah, we've more to win yet today.
Kelly Harrington to go. We've got lots more to go.
Our show jumpers at lunchtime. We have lots more to come. We have Reese McLenahan tomorrow in the gymnastics. There's just so many people giving us a great lift right now. And Gabby, I think we needed it.
Yeah, I think yesterday certainly was a tough day for boxing especially. And we did see our very own Castlereagh native, Aoife O'Rourke. She had a bit of a hard time during the week. Mm-hmm. And certainly the week started off on a high. Like, I was glued to the swimming. I love it. Mona McSharry, Dan Whiffen, just phenomenal results. Mm-hmm. And Ireland is doing really, really well. And if I could point to Minister of State at the Department of Sport, Thomas Burns' interview earlier in the week, you know, talking about the need for extra resourcing, talking about how government is putting in that money. And I think sometimes maybe we think too much on a small scale. We underestimate actually how good we are, and that leads to our athletes actually going abroad and training. Like Mona trained abroad, so did Whiffen as well. And I think Minister Byrne said, you know, we don't need to be building Taj Mahals everywhere. Well, perhaps we do, because clearly we have the talent and we should be feeding into it.
But just in defence of Thomas Byrne, who's a Gaeilgeor as well, Cosúil Lumsa, he's also a minister for the Gaeltacht. But I mean, the Sports Capital Programme, since 1998, we've seen more than 13,000 projects they've benefited from the Sports Capital capital funding, and it's bringing a total amount of allocations to approximately 1.15
billion. He mentioned a huge catch-up here on this programme yesterday.
But lots of
projects really slow to get off the ground as well now. So we're all going to say, yeah, we're getting them now that we have the medals.
Yeah, no. I think we are getting them because we've committed to the Sports Capital Programme. I think it's on the way. It will never be enough all in the one go.
The Sports Capital Programme is really important. But if you look at the large-scale infrastructure project fund, that happens very infrequently. The total this year, I think, allocated is about 120 to 130 million. And after rowing now, my focus will move to the Drogheda United Bohemians match this evening. And for example, Drogheda United applied for funding for a new stadium. And that funding total that the club would require would be about 20 million. So that's a very large percentage of, for example, what's available in total. So if we're serious actually about growing participation in our highest participation sport, which actually is football, then we need to be serious of building a football industry. The Labour Party, very strong record in that. I mean, just this time last year, we had the first ever motion in the Dáil calling for additional resources for the football sector to create a football industry, because we know as well post-Brexit that the opportunities for young Irish players to go to the UK, we're talking about swimmers and boxers and so on, training abroad and getting scholarships and athletes as well. If we want to focus on building a football industry for our biggest participation sport, we need to get much more serious with funding. For example, League of Ireland infrastructure and grassroots infrastructure.
But is the point, participation is key. But is the point not that we should be focusing on other sports? I mean, here we have swimmers who are now Olympic medalists.
Exactly.
They've
gone off and they've
trained abroad.
It shouldn't be either or.
Like, we have put a lot of resources into the GAA and football, and that's brilliant. But maybe we should be focusing on some of those other sports that clearly we have a lot of potential in.
Yes, oh, we have huge. I mean, we've only got 250-metre Olympic standard pools in this country.
And we heard Mona McSherry talking about training in Ballyshannon, where they simply don't. She's in Tennessee. Daniel Whiffen's in Loughborough in the UK.
This is going to inspire young children to become swimmers.
I want to bring in Olivia, please, if that's okay, because this generation of swimmers that's been inspired maybe by Daniel Whiffen and Mona McSherry, you know, is it too late for them really? Because will they have thrown in the towel by the time we have all of these facilities? Because there is still a lot of catch up to happen.
Well, yes, but that catch up isn't going to happen, as you say, for that generation. But I'm wondering, the swimmers might tell you different, but how big a deal is it to go and train abroad? Is that not, when we are just a very small country, is that not what people see as part of their progress, that they do go and train abroad, that they mix with other athletes who are of their standard or a standard that they hope to achieve? Like, do we have to have everything here? You know,
it'd be nice to have some more of it here, though, wouldn't it? Like a decent-sized Olympic-sized swimming pool.
We've seen the progress we've made in medals already, you know. Perhaps in certain sports it is just seen as what you do. You go and you train abroad.
I think Olivia
you're nodding
makes
in agreement
point.
Here, but and I see what you're saying. But this is
a huge
lifestyle change for someone. Huge sacrifices for them and their family to have to move their life abroad at a very young age. We should have some opportunities here.
Well, I don't know. People go to universities abroad and that sort of thing. And this is part of it. You know, people get these university scholarships.
Erasmus every year now.
You know, I don't think.
Yeah, if I could just respond, I think Olivia's making a very balanced point there, and I think yes, of course, we have to play catch up in terms of the spending. But the spending programme is there, not enough. It's a bit like the housing argument. Of course, we're building. Dara O'Brien is building, but not enough and not at scale. But can I just say, I'm more interested in seeing the money that is invested in sport going into communities that can really, really develop and experience good things for young children from it. And by that, I mean into better-off communities.
Briefly,
we need to target it into those communities.
This may be the impetus to see more targeted spending, more
absolutely
investment.
The best agency to deliver facilities on the ground. And it's about participation. I mean, we had something like, and I looked at the figures earlier on, 1.5 million people participating in sport pre-COVID. It's actually down 200,000. So that's a real, real problem. The best agencies to deliver actually facilities and infrastructure are the local authorities. I mean, we know as well, you know, there are issues with access, for example, to stadiums at certain points because, you know, people aren't working and so on. We need just a renewed focus. Yeah. Education training boards can contribute an awful lot as well. There's always been a tradition of swimmers and athletes moving, for example, to the US and the UK because they have access to elite coaches. Sports Ireland have done a great job actually in with the federations developing the elite coaching piece and actually giving a pathway to talented young athletes and swimmers in terms of a way forward. But it's always, especially in swimming, you know, and athletics. I mean, we've seen some of our best athletes going to the US on scholarships, competing at the highest level available to them in the US and internationally. And, you know, Irish teams have benefited from that over the years.
Yes,
it'll
and can I just say,
very briefly,
sorry, to speak to the point, to add to the point that Jed is making, and possibly the other three ladies wanted to get in as well about this, and that is we've seen the unfortunate fall off of female participation in sport in recent years. And can I just say that that's something that I am keenly aware of, and I've been talking to Thomas Byrne about. And can I just say
I want
the
to move,
All-Ireland final is on for the ladies on Sunday, and I will be shouting for the two teams when... Curie is in my constituency.
You're covering all bases here
I'm
now.
I'm
only new to politics.
You take long for Cynthia. You have
it all.
I have a finger in every county of Ireland.
Very much on the ditch there. I think you have to in those huge European constituencies, don't you? Let's move on to wider government spending, because lots more in the papers today about the budget, and whether it's about sports funding, whether it's about social welfare. Gabby, you've been reporting this week on the wish list coming from government TDs, and they want to be popular heading into this election, obviously, particularly with pensioners.
They want €20 on the pension. €20 weekly increase is currently, I think, the old state pension is €232. Last year, I think there was maybe one or two calls for the €20, but this year the backbench TDs across Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael are being very brave, and they're saying, look, we have the money for it. It's a pre-election budget, and they do want to tap into that older vote by putting €20 on. Now, in fairness, Finance Minister Jack Chambers, he's saying that there will be very substantial supports for pensioners in the budget. So perhaps that is not all but ruled out just yet. We did see €12 put on the pension last year. There definitely is a desire. Look, €20 would be a lot, but certainly for that €15, you know, that would be, I think, certainly what the government would be minded to do in advance of a pre-election budget. €12, you know, is a lot of money, but, you know, I think Michael McGrath, when he was finance minister, he did say it would go up by at least that. So 15 perhaps, maybe not all but ruled out yet. Also, we're hearing about things like, you know, there's going to be a VAT on further levies on cigarettes, a VAT for vapes, which was well flagged last year, and that I think will happen this year. Cuts to inheritance tax, we've been hearing that. Fine Gael has been pushing for that for a long time.
A giveaway budget, it sounds like, even though nobody wants to say it yet, in your party, Cynthia Ní Bhfuarthacú, including the finance minister, but he said there would be a very substantial package for pensioners. It's house prices are soaring, we're at full employment, inflation just coming under control. Is this the last thing we need to do to overheat the economy again?
I'd never apologise for advocating for the most vulnerable in our society, and I consider older people to be in the category of the most vulnerable. So,
what
as
about
a civic
young
society,
people? What yes, about young people? Because
as a civic society, we look after. I was just going to come to that,
because
John.
People might ask about the logic of increasing payments to a generation sitting on property wealth in some cases at the expense of the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds who still can't buy a house.
Yes, and I'm not a hurler on the ditch, by the way. I do believe that younger people have to be looked after as well.
I just want to stress that.
So I'm going to come down very firmly on the side of the pensioners, and I'll tell you why. They have paid their dues. They have paid all their taxes. They have given all their efforts and life's work to this country, and they are entitled to get that increase.
Are they the people that need it
and
most?
Absolutely need it most. Yes, they are in the most category.
Even
they
the
are
struggling
most
families who can't buy a house, those
they have
at
bad
risk
health,
of losing their
they
homes
have bad
or rental
health,
properties.
They have old debts, and they have paid all their dues, and they've paid all their taxes, and
Jed
I will
Nash.
Never apologise for advocating
Jed,
for
what
the
do
most
you think?
Vulnerable.
I actually can't take Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael seriously on their commitment to pensioners, because since 2020, the actual purchasing power of the pension has significantly come down. And if it were not for once-off payments, which doesn't address the core structural problems in terms of social welfare system, in terms of pension supports, then we would see higher rates of poverty than we're currently experiencing with pensioners. I mean, 7 out of 10 of all pensioners rely on the state for state pension for their main income or the bulk of their income.
So what would Labour do? Would you support €20 last year?
No, we wouldn't, because we'd support a higher payment of. Last year, we'd have cost the payment of €27.50 phased in over a year.
So you'd increase the pension by €27.50?
Last year, we would on a phased basis over that particular year. It's more than €20. So that's in our fully costed budget submission.
Now, and what about the younger people?
Yeah, what we can't do as well, and here's the problem.
Is that where your money should be targeted?
And here's the problem. What we need to do, actually, you stop this annual nonsense that only really benefits backbench government TDs and ministers, and indeed the media who are looking for stories during July and August when the doll's not sitting, about what the rate
it's
of the
very
pension would be.
What we require is what we describe as
indexation, not just of the pension rate, but all social protection payments, because, you know, we've got ministers kind of picking winners and losers, and we've got, apparently, according to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, the deserving poor and those who actually deserve more
support. It's the right thing to do.
I think to address income inequalities, there's no evidential basis for a 15 euro increase or a 20 euro increase, because that means the purchasing power of pensioners is still way below where it was, for example, in 2019-2020. So what we need to do is benchmark our pension payment and indeed other social protection payments against wage increases and inflation increases. And how we do that with the pension is to, for example, to commit to what's known as the pension promise, okay. Right? We know with a living wage, so we should, it hasn't actually, because the that suggests that the pension should be benchmarked at 34% of average earnings. Uh-huh. That at the moment would be just a bit over 300 euros.
Okay.
That's a reasonable pension to allow all pensioners to have a reasonable level of existence.
I need to move on. I've used up a lot of our time with Olympic gold medal winning athletes, and I'll make no apology for it because it was worth it. But Olivia, to bring you back in here, because out of the spending promises as well we're looking at this week, we heard about a long-term pledge on rail infrastructure, 37 billion by 2050. Do you think it'll happen, and will that carry any weight with voters right now? Because that's a long way off, some might say.
Exactly. Long term really is the opposite phrase here. You know, we have this rail plan now. We've had very similar rail plans over the decades. You know, how long have been people in Navan listened to them being told they're getting their rail line, and it's still at least a decade off. So anyone looking at these figures, huge amounts of money, have to pitch that against the very long timescale of 2050. And to be honest, we already knew that most of these projects were coming because we've had our sort of, say, particularly in the eastern region, we've had our Greater Dublin Area transport strategies. Mm. So we've known what's coming down the line, to pardon the pun. There is good stuff in this, but yeah, these are very long-term
projects. But it's not
what
we haven't heard before, linking the airports to the rail lines, like the Western Rail Corridor, like being able to travel around this country. Mm. You know, it's all well and good, say it.
It is great. It is great if it were done. There's caveats in there about, you know, this is subject to economic feasibility. It's subject to the funding at the time of the project. And all these are individual projects. They will all be subject to separate planning applications going through, unfortunately, on Bord Pleanála.
Will any of them happen, Cynthia?
Yes, it's going to be, well, I haven't got a crystal ball, but I'm sorry, I would have some doubts as well. But I have less doubts if the politicians behind it, and ideally at the moment we have a Fianna Fáil junior minister, James Lawless, whom I'm meeting later on, not only about this, but about Waterford Airport, which is a hobby horse of mine, John. You might invite me back on the programme at some stage to talk about the reopening of that.
We'll consider it.
But this plan, and it sets out 32 strategic recommendations, it is only going to be as good as the key political players behind it. I have faith in James Lawless at the moment to drive it on. I don't have faith in the current Minister for Transport, the Green Minister, who has refused to meet me on Waterford Airport.
And Jed Nash, briefly, we were talking earlier in the programme about what does it take to get people to take climate change a bit more seriously, or to make lifestyle choices and changes. Well, we might all get on board those trains if they were actually there. Would Labour commit to any of these projects?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the most important things we've done over the last while is commit ourselves and the Labour Party to actually commit to supporting the new Future Ireland Fund and the Climate and Infrastructure Fund, which is really important in terms of accessing the kind of resources we need to actually have a step change in terms of decarbonisation. And one way of doing that is to take people out of cars and get them onto trains. Unlike Olivia, I would have actually more confidence in a Green Party minister to do this rather than Fianna Fáil ministers.
Excuse me, my profuse
apologies. I think the important thing is that, you know, we need electrification. There is a public confidence issue because of the Laser Metrolink and, for example, the DART to Drogheda, which we were promised.
I apologise for speeding things up, Jed, but the Olympics just takes precedence over everything. But Cynthia, before I let you go, Ursula von der Leyen again saying this week she wanted a male and female nominee for commissioner.
Yes.
Simon Harris and our government saying no, Sorry, you're getting Michael McGrath. Have we shot ourselves in the foot, particularly when your party colleagues didn't support Ursula von der Leyen? What hope have we of getting any sort of an influential role now in the future?
It's a very simple point. We would be very disappointed if Ursula von der Leyen was making her decision solely on four Fianna Fáil MEPs voting against her. She is obviously a civil servant. She is the leader of the Commission. She is not voted in by governments and by people. So she will follow through on her mandate and she will make sure that a correct portfolio is given to Michael McGrath, who is highly skilled and qualified, probably the best.
Well, we keep saying that to her, but we're not giving her what she's asking for, and your party didn't support her either.
She's not dealing in revenge politics. If she were, she's less of a leader than we would have thought she was. And I had my difficulties with voting for her, and the listeners know about that.
Time will tell. Thank you to Cynthia Niwuraku, to Jed Nash, to Gabby Agatafiskaita and Olivia Kelly. And I'm sorry that we're pressed for time. But again, I'm not sorry, because we had so much fun talking about the Olympics as well on this programme today.
Thank you,
and
John.
And delighted for Paula Donovan and Fintan McCarthy. And good luck to all our athletes. Lots more to come throughout the day.